Tsunamis like the one that killed scores of thousands of people in South Asia last week crash into the west coast of North America every several hundred years. One of the biggest, a wall of water that may have been 50 feet high in places, hit the Pacific Northwest in the fall of 1700, flattening forests and downing countless Native Americans. Millions of people now live in the path traveled by that tsunami. NPR's John Nielsen has more.
Brian Atwater, a tsunami expert with the United States Geological Survey, often paddles his canoe up the mouth of the Copalis River in Washington State. After a while, he turns and paddles through some marsh grasses, entering what he calls a ghost forest.
These gray trunks of western red cedar, standing dead, hundreds of them in view in total, sticking up out of the salt marsh.
Atwater says these cypress trees were killed all at once by a catastrophe that struck on the night of Tuesday, January 26th, 1700. He says it started at the bottom of the Pacific, just off the coast of Washington, when an underwater earthquake that may have been even stronger than the recent Asian underwater earthquake sent an unimaginably huge amount of water surging west into the forests of the Pacific Northwest. In other words,
what just happened in the Indian Ocean has happened here in the northwestern United States, not only in Alaska in 1964, but also in the lower 48 and in adjacent Canada in the year 1700.
When Atwater started paddling around in cedar ghost forests in the late 1980s, geologists, oceanographers, and earthquake experts thought he was wasting his time. Except for the tsunami that hit Alaska in 1964, there were no written records of tsunamis anywhere near this big striking North America. Earthquake experts seem convinced that underwater earthquakes big enough to create this kind of tsunami simply did not happen in this part of the Pacific Ocean. But Atwater started changing minds in the early 1990s when studies of the rings in the trunks of his ghost trees showed that they all died on or near the end of the 1600s, perhaps because the swamplands underneath them sank several feet during the earthquake. More geologists came around when Atwater found the remains of an Indian coastal village underneath a thick layer of mud in the Pacific Northwest, and when he found thick layers of sand from the bottom of the Pacific Ocean in the walls of inland creek beds. Atwater was able to show that all of these changes had taken place between 1690 and 1730, but that's hardly the same thing as proving that they all happened on the same day. Then, however, he got lucky in the form of a phone call from a group of Japanese archivists who studied written records of tsunamis.
And they said, you know, we've been collecting documents about an orphan tsunami, in effect, a tsunami without a known parent earthquake. And this is in January of 1700.
Working backwards from the descriptions in the written records, Japanese computer modelers were able to show that Atwater's 1700 earthquake was not only the source of their orphan tsunami, but that it would have taken an earthquake of magnitude 9.0 or more to produce it. Atwater and his colleagues published the last in a series of papers on the tsunami of 1700 about a year ago. But Thomas Heaton, a prominent seismologist and one of Atwater's earliest supporters, doesn't think these papers have had the kind of effect he'd hoped they'd have. For instance, while many buildings on the West Coast are built to withstand strong earthquakes, they aren't built to withstand earthquakes this strong or the waves of water that might follow.
Given what we currently know, it's an event that is coming, and we ought to be prepared ahead of time.
When that next tsunami will hit is anybody's guess, he says. On the average, it's now believed that a big one hits the Pacific Northwest every 300 to 400 years. John Nielsen, NPR News, Washington.